You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Chapter 17, verses 15 through 19. Chapter 18, verses 9 through 15. And chapters 21, 1 through 8. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, and kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Chapter 18, verse 9. They said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? He said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in years, in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure with my Lord, being old as also? The Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, I shall be of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, and according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. He said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. Chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have a children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age? The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word, and this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. And now, Father God, again at the outset, we want to pause to acknowledge the privilege that we have here, and your faithfulness attending to the things that are needful. And so in this spirit of confidence in you now, we look to you for the grace that will be needed as you move in our midst and warm our hearts afresh, as you energize us up on high, from on high, as you cleanse us and sanctify us as a people unto yourself, in order that we may be a vessel set apart to the end that your purposes would be accomplished right here and right now. Be very careful to give you the glory in all of this, and thank you for attending to each little detail. And this grace as you rebuke the evil one, in Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Well, we want to pick up this morning in our series of studies on the 11th chapter of Hebrews. So if you'll turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And let that last phrase stick in your heart real good. She judged him faithful. Now, in the past few weeks, we've been dealing with this subject in Hebrews 11. Thank you. And we begin with Abel. And we learned that Abel gives to us the picture of the pattern of the proper way of worship. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And Abel offered a sacrifice that was pleasing unto God, whereas Cain was rejected, inasmuch as he rejected the blood. And so Abel's life, as we saw, speaks to us of a proper worship before God. In the same manner, we learned about Enoch. He walked with God because he pleased God. And you cannot walk with God unless you do please him. Nor can you walk with God until you worshiped. Notice the perfect order. Because not only is the word of God perfect, but the works of God are perfect too. You want the proof text on that? That's Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Not only the word of God is perfect, but the works of God are perfect. Every arrangement, every dot, every tittle, every letter, the order of everything falls in perfection just like the word does. You cannot worship, you cannot walk until you're worshiped. You must worship God before you can ever walk with him. In order to do that, you must please God. The same way Enoch's faith produced the walk that's pleasing in God's sight, Noah, moved with fear, built an ark to saving his household, whereby he became a witness to that generation, the judgment, a righteous judgment to come. And so Noah speaks to us of a proper witness. Because you cannot witness for God until you walked with God. You cannot walk with God until you worship with God. See, the order is perfect just like the words are. The walk, the worship, the walk, and the witness. And then we have the great example of Abraham, the father of faithful. He was faithful because he was obedient. It says he went into a land, he knew not where he was going. He just obeyed God. He sought a city whose maker and builder was God. He never saw that city except in vision. He sojourned in a land that was not his, all by faith. He obeyed God in every instance where it's referred to. Some of the things that God chooses to demonstrate faith is not always what we would pick out in a man's life. But in these cases, it's pretty obvious. Today we come to another hero of faith, Sarah. Sarah's life speaks to us of a proper conclusion. She lived to see the thing come to pass that God promised. These all, the heroes of faith, died without having received the promise. Sarah received the promise before she died. She had a son that was impossible to have. Nothing is too hard for God. That's what he told Sarah. Notice. Going back to Genesis, you must get in the atmosphere of this story. In chapter 17, God had told Abraham that Sarah, his wife, was going to have a child. And we read that Abraham laughed too. Verse 17. But he laughed in his heart, not his mind. He just thought it was funny that he's going to have a child at 100 years old. I can imagine how the fellow gets kind of funny too. He did not laugh the laugh of unbelief. He laughed with God, not at him. That's in verse 17. He laughed in his heart, notice. But Sarah also, she heard. And in verse 13 of chapter 18, it says, Sarah laughed, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Now, she laughed with the mind, not from the heart, because that was impossible. Now, in the next verse, God assures her, though, so that she can take hold of it by faith, when he asks the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, when he said that, he said, at the time appointed, I will. It isn't a matter of what you think, Sarah, it's what I will do at the set time, at the appointed time. It's interesting when God called her attention to the fact that she did laugh, verse 15. She said, no, I didn't laugh. Oh, yes, you did. You didn't laugh out loud, but you laughed in your mind. Again, demonstrating that God is omniscient. He knows every secret of the heart. Think about that when the rotten things come into your mind. And I know that they do because they come into mine. And you're a human being just like I am. And God is cognizant of that fact. And when it does happen, when it will happen, rest assured that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing. And for you to appreciate that, you need to confess it. That is, your mind needs to be in accord with God about it. That way, the fellowship is never broken, you see. It just goes right on. At first, she laughed. Then we read in chapter 21, the faithfulness of God. Underscored in your Bible, as he had said, in verse 2, at the set time. God was not one split second ahead of time. He was not one split second behind time either. He was right on time. You can set your watch by it. But notice, call your attention to the fact again. When Sarah doubted, God gave her the assurance by asking her the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return at the appointed time, and you shall bear a child. I remember when I was in school in Atlanta, we had a lady. The doctors told her she could not have a child. But she wouldn't have it that way. And she used to talk about the fact that she was going to have a child. And you know she did? The lady died 2 years ago up at Cushing here. And Ms. Beam, I never forget that as long as I live. She did have a child. And a good healthy child too. Is anything too hard for God? Now coming back to Hebrews 11. Verse 11. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Now notice, Anne was delivered her child when she was past age because, and underscore the word because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, that ought to encourage you when your faith is weak and doubtful. You don't tempt God. You believe God. You do not build circumstances that you know that is out of the purpose and will of God. But when you hear God speak to you, then you need to respond by faith, even though you don't understand it. Sarah, the reason she laughed, the reason she doubted, because rationally that doesn't make any sense. She's 90 years old, and Abraham's 100. People just don't have children at those ages, you know. And so she doubted and she laughed about it. She laughed about it. God never let her forget it either. But he gave her assurance so that she could take hold of it. So when you have your doubts, if you're listening to what God says to you, and we're going to see the importance of that in a minute, you don't just claim anything in the Bible like some people do, by faith, so to speak, so they claim. You can claim what God says to you and rest assured it will happen that way, even though you don't understand it. But it must be spoken to you. And we're going to see how that God speaks to us today. It isn't a matter of emotion or some experience, some feelings. It's based upon what thus saith the Lord. When we obey by faith, then God will act upon that. God gave Sarah second assurance when he said to her to encourage her. He said, is anything too hard for God? The doubts are gone when he said, I will do this. Now, it's interesting that when we learn to the book of Ephesians, and let's turn there, you may have your doubts about certain parts of Scripture, whether you can claim it or not. But if you want to know what's spoken to you in such a way that you can be sure wherein you stand, Ephesians 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. I believe everyone in this room this morning is a Gentile, as to your background. So that any question about who it's addressing the letter to here should remove all doubts. Now, most of the promises in the Bible are to the nation of Israel. People claim those promises. They have no right to do that. But here you have something addressed to you, your private mail. You don't have to be a theologian to understand that language. But there's just two kinds of people in this world, apart from the body of Christ, and that is a Jew and a Gentile. A Jew is easy to distinguish because he's circumcised in a religious rite when he's 8 days old. And you cannot claim to be an Israelite or a Jew without that circumcision, because that is the bond of covenant. All of the people, regardless of who they are, what their bloodlines are Gentiles. Only the circumcised can be qualified as a Jew. All of the Gentiles. And from Genesis to the book of Ephesians, you will never find in the Bible that God addresses you as a Gentile for blessing apart from the nation of Israel. But here he does. He addresses you in a very personal way. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Just a year before this statement, Paul arrived at Rome, the 20th chapter of Acts, and he said to that to the elders of Israel, "For the hope of Israel, am I in this chain?" And he preached to them from early morning till late at night concerning the kingdom, from the law and the prophets. And it says, when they could not agree among themselves, he quoted the 6th chapter of Isaiah to them. You have eyes to see with, you will not see. You have ears to hear with, you will not hear. Therefore, be it known unto you that this salvation is now authorized to the Gentiles, that they will hear it. The first letter that Paul wrote after that statement is the Ephesian epistle. No longer, notice, it is no longer for the hope of Israel. Is I, Paul, the prisoner, not for the hope of Israel, but for you Gentiles. He goes on to tell us what this is. If you've heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, not the 12 apostles, to you, how by revelation he made known unto me this sacred secret. This mystery. Verse 5, in other ages was not made known. Verse 9, we're to make all of God's people see what is the dispensation of this secret, of this sacred secret, which from the beginning of the ages has been hid in God, not hidden in the Scriptures. So for the first time, God reveals through the Apostle Paul a message to the Gentile nations. Apart from Israel, notice, Israel's not in this at all. It's addressed to you. This is your private mail. Every promise in these prison letters, there are 5 of them, actually 7 written after the close of Acts, but 5 of them are written from prison. And they're called the prison letters. Paul always refers to them in these letters himself as the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And notice in Colossians, which also is a prison letter, in chapter 1, verse 25 and 26. And we'll read verse 27 too. Paul said, I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which was given to me for you. And this word fulfill is the Greek word pleremo, which means to fill it to the full, to complete it. This mystery, notice, to complete the word of God, verse 26, the mystery is what he's talking about, verse 26, which had been hid from the ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Here's what it is. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory among the Gentiles. Up until these statements, notice, prior to this, by the testimony of our own Lord, salvation is of the Jew, but is now among the Gentiles, and has been for almost 2,000 years. It will remain that way until we're gone and Israel is brought back into the picture. They will become the channel again for blessing. Today, you are that channel. You are the only light that God has to offer to this world through the Word. And you can see how miserably we've failed. We're not even a good candle in this world, because the nations have failed to proclaim the message that's addressed to them for their faith obedience. Notice the lesson that we learn here. Faith, obedience in what God said to them. Abel did not do the same thing that Enoch did. Enoch did not do the same thing Noah did. Noah did not do the same thing Abraham did. Sarah did not do the same thing Abraham did. Each one believed what God said to him or to her. And the minute that he did that, God counted that faith for them right then. It's important, beloved, to remember what God says to you. Today, the rank and file of Christendom, men that have been saved by the grace of God, do not know that they have a special part of the Bible that's addressed to them for their faith obedience, the prison letters. They do not know that. It's a sad story. When you talk to the average saint about the mystery, they think you're talking about something mysterious. You're not talking about something mysterious at all. You're talking about a secret that God had kept secret until after Israel as a nation was set aside. Is now revealed for our faith obedience. It's that simple. It's so simple, you just wonder how it's possible that Christendom could all these centuries be so in the dark about such a simple truth. You can read the English language. You don't need a theologian to understand that. This mystery was not the subject matter of anything it preceded. In fact, the context is entirely different. The context of things in the prophetic scriptures are since or from the foundation of the world. The context of things addressed to us are before the foundation of the world. You can't miss those things. You just look at them. It's what God says to you that's really going to count in the final analysis. That's why in the Ephesian letter, notice, here is the most profound, the simplest plan of salvation you'll ever read after. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, with a view toward good works. In the second chapter, in verse 15, he tells us that this is a new creation, a new man, he calls it. Ephesians 2:15. Something that was not in the program before, but is now. Where there, as Colossians 3:11 says, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, neither barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. Today, Christ is all. That's all you need. That's why in Colossians 2:10 we read, you are complete in Christ. Today, Christendom has everything in the world for you to get into the family. You got to do all kind of rites, and you got to go do it this way, you got to do it that way. Christ is all there is. This is the grace of God extended to the human race. You see, what's so misunderstood about this grace is that God is saying, in effect, two things. Every act towards you is an act of grace. If he cannot deal with you in grace, he just leaves you alone. In the past, God dealt in righteous judgments or in justice or in wholeness. But God is dealing in sovereign grace today. It isn't that grace is new, no more than justice or righteousness or wholeness is new. But never in all the history of the ages has God limited himself to one attribute, and that's the sovereign grace of God. Secondly, since this is a dispensation of the mystery, the secret, what God is doing in your life is a secret. Some couple of years ago, this fellow, I think it's Tim LaHaye, had this big seminar down at the Myriad He had buttons they put on in front of the people. He says, don't look now. God hasn't finished the product or something like that. And that's true in your life. What God is doing in your life is a secret. Sometimes, as you look back in retrospect, you can see His footprint and His handiwork, but you won't know what's happening today. Tomorrow, you look back, you might. But everything God is doing in your life today is a secret. And secondly, but not least, it's an act of grace. There's no one in this dispensation that can ever in any way, shape, form, or fashion make any claims on God other than what God has promised in these letters addressed to you. That's why it's important. And from all other scripture, we learn the truth. It is all for us, the scripture. All scriptures God breathed. But it is not all addressed to us. It is all for us to learn. We learn the character of God. We learn about how He deals with other people at other times and how all these things. We learn all these things. But when it comes to faith obedience, just like of old, that's why we have this 11th chapter of Hebrews here to demonstrate that for us. We learn how God deals. Because every age, Hebrews 11:3, every age was worked out in the hidden counsel of God before the foundation of the world. The age and dispensation in which we live did not come as a result of something that happened at Acts 28. It came as a result of God prepared the ages before the foundation of the world. They were prepared by His sovereignty. You and I sit in these pews this morning, not by any accident or by anything that you may have thought, well, I better go to church today, or I've got this reason or that reason. No. Under the sovereign grace of God, the reason you're here is your appointed time. It's your set time to be here. You can't be here any other way. You couldn't come here if you wanted to, unless it was in the permissive will of God. It has to be. You see, everything God is doing now is after the fact. Some years ago, a man named C.S. Lewis, he died just a few years ago, wrote a little paper called the I can't even think of the title of the paper now. I'm sure getting old. Beyond Personality, the title of the paper. It had to do with the working of God outside the realm of time. And I remember one description he gave in that little paper, and it made me think of a comment that Shakespeare made, that life is a stage, a play, and we're all the players. We all pass across that stage one at a time. And so, but you see, the players in the act, in the play, are limited by time. But the director of the play, he's not bothered by time at all. He can take any one of the actors aside and spend hours with him for maybe the 5 minutes he's going to be on the stage. See? Because time doesn't bother him. What God says about the things that people get confused about, like predestination, foreknowledge, and all this, is that is after the fact. If you went to see a play, see the whole thing, be no miracle that you could tell what went on in the play. The director of the play knows. That's his business. He couldn't be the director if he wasn't. And so when God speaks to us as a nation, as Gentiles, it's no secret that God knew this ahead of time. It's all in His foreknowledge. It's all in His dimension that we can't realize it, but we can't know about it. You and I cannot visualize a person who is omniscient, who knows everything. Not a single secret. Is Sarah, you remember? She laughed. And Abraham laughed in his heart. God didn't rebuke Abraham for it. He rebuked Sarah because hers was not a heartfelt. It was a mental rationalization, you see. Everything is after the fact. People talk about predestination. It's after the fact. It's no secret to you. No, nothing hard about that for God. It's hard for us, but not hard for Him at all. Well, it's 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, time stop. This story is continuous, so you must come back next Sunday to hear the rest of it. But you get the pictures we go through here. Sarah lived to see the conclusion of her faith. She bore a child when she was 90 years old. And they named him Isaac, which means laughter. It's interesting what she said about it. Notice. She said in chapter 21 of Genesis, verse 6, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. Did you hear it? Let's hear good laughter. That shows you believe what God said. You see, that's for your faith. God said, not only is it funny, but everybody that hears this, that really hears it, will laugh with you. Amazing how the Bible interprets itself. And Father, thank you for this fellowship and the Word. Burn these truths into our heart and our mind that we may become a part of your purposes in every sense of the word, that your personalities will begin to see and be seen in our life, because we're the only channel now in the physical realm that you have to work through, and this body of clay needs to be constantly clean as you set us apart to these ends. And to take for us, Father, as you enable us to worship you in spirit and truth and in faith obedience as those saints of old. And these graces for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.